Good evening. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
And we're here with Trauma Talk. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about trauma and its effect on our spiritual welfare. And by the way, trauma, the Greek word for trauma means simply wound. And so trauma leaves us with wounds that we need to heal.
Yeah, it's a wound. When you don't take care of it, it's a wound that's always there. I mean, if you look around today, people that have trauma, it isn't healing. That's the whole issue. You know, it's a wound that's always there and it needs to be healed. You know, we don't have the correct resources in place to help with the healing process. You know, if you go to, I was thinking about this, like, if I have a gunshot wound, right? They used to have, like, St. Joe over there on 30th, right?
Oh, yeah.
But now St. Joe's over there at, behind McDonald's. If I got a gunshot wound, that's not a crisis center they're going to take me to.
Trauma center, right.
Yeah, it's a trauma center. They're not going to take me there because they can't handle what's going on with me. They're going to take me up to UNMC where they got the professionals to handle it and bring you back, keep you alive. It's just like in a wartime situation, they have triage centers. They'll triage and figure, okay, you need to go here, you need to go there. In the mental health field in our area, it doesn't exist. So you have it's like the walking wounded. I was in the Marine Corps, right? The Marines don't leave nobody behind. So we have these walking wounded just walking around. And there's no healing in place to help them heal to be who God wants them to be.
Well, it's like Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, we were talking about earlier, Frank, when it says you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there.
Right. And a lot of times people are acting like it's not there. And you got to realize with trauma, it's a soul wound. I mean, it affects the mind, the spirit, and the body, you know, all three parts. So it's like the person's reality is like way off. They can't function appropriately in the world today. You know, when you talk about the 21st century, to me, you know, I do trauma work 4 days a week. You know, I've seen like, I don't know, four people today. I've seen seven yesterday. So it's like when I see these people, it's changed my worldview on just everything around me. It's just like I'll go to meetings and stuff like that. I was like, don't they get it? You know, they want to work with individuals that are already okay or they're not that bad. You know, or else they're doing things like, oh, you know what? It's like, you know, my grandfather taught me how to fish. And me and my brother are pretty good fishermen, right? But, like, when you talk about, like, when they go to places at certain places, they're like, oh, let me give you some food, and I'll see you next week. They're not trying to help them heal and teach them how to live their life. Just like they're just keeping them stuck.
Just like in the high-pressure fishing areas, they don't bite, right?
Oh,
they don't bite. They don't. They know already. They know the program. You know, and like you were talking about just a minute ago, like when you were in the Marines, cleansing before healing, it's just like a physical wound has to be uncovered and healed to prevent infection. Emotional and spiritual wounds have to be brought to the light to be properly healed.
Yeah, they're not healing properly. You know, right. It's just like if I have a broken leg and it's not healed properly or gangrene sensing, guess what they do?
Cut it off.
They cut it off. You know, or else it's going to kill me. So what you see is just a lot of people walking around just dying. You know, it's sad to watch. I'm talking about you watching a family die. You know what I'm saying? Because the family has trauma that's carried on from generation to generation. You know, whether it's people, African-Americans, Native Americans, Caucasian. I mean, it happens from family to generation. Then you see the whole family being affected, and they're just like, they're dying.
Well, not just the family, but as we allow things to fester, like you and I talked about earlier, and we try harder and harder to heal in the wrong ways, we get deeper and deeper into making poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
Poor choices like?
Could be any number of things.
Yeah.
Poor choices like, I got a new kid the other day. And so he made a poor choice by going off on his stepfather, right? The dude's built like a football player, his stepfather, right? But I'm gonna be like an animal and come at my stepdad. He said, my stepdad was holding me down by my neck with one hand. You know, but he just lost it, and it's a poor choice, but it affects everybody within the family. Everything. Right. Right. You know, a stepfather shouldn't be fighting his.
That's what I like. That's what I like a lot about when people are just, we all have people in our life that we've had to create have healthy boundaries created because they're just, they lie paths of destruction mm-hmm. in front of us. I used to be like that. Heck, I think we all to some degree were at one point or another. But
you're talking about paths of destruction. It's just like a roaring tornado going through like like what they say, EF5 or 6 tornadoes coming through your town and just tearing everything up.
But like what is the key thing that people say when they're in the midst of trauma and they're not ready to deal with it, and you come to them and you say, wow, do you realize what you're doing? They're like, well, it's only hurting
me. But you got to realize most of the people that I deal with, they're in the system somehow. So when you talk about the amount of pain that's been inflicted when it comes to either as a kid going to jail or going to a mental health facility, or I'm taken out of my home and I'm placed somewhere, it affects the whole family. So the pain is the motivation to try to change something so I don't stay this way. There's very few, I have a few parents or a few families that or kids that come to me just because they need the help. You know, they honestly looked at everything around and was like, I can't continue like this behind closed doors. Because, like, you know, they're at home and nobody knows about it. And, like, it's like being on Facebook, right? You look at everybody like, oh, everything's great. Look, I'm smiling. Life is good. I'm just going through life and everything's happy, happy, happy. You know, and you talk about going behind closed doors, they present themselves that like that. But when they begin to really take a look at it, it's the wound is too severe. And I've got to do something to stop the bleeding, or else I'm going to bleed out. I'm going to lose my child.
Well, and speaking of social media, isn't it amazing how people have learned to vomit their trauma all over social media?
And see it all the time.
And then they wonder why they get the reactions they get when people see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying how I felt. I want to help other people. Well, that's not helping other people. Yeah.
You know?
By using that as an outlet for.
What do you think people use to try to heal themselves when it comes to like that wound?
Boy, that can go a lot of different directions, Frank.
Right.
I mean, cutting. Some people.
Oh yeah. My God. Yeah.
Yeah. That's become a big thing, hasn't it? You know.
But the thing is, you know, a lot of people think it's just women that it happens to. No. It happens to men.
Yeah.
You know. To have someone say I'm a man, I'm a cutter, it's just like people look like, you know, when I hear that, I'm just like, wow, you know.
Well, and it's so hard. That's one of those real difficult ones. And I think all those things, whether it's drugs or cutting or fighting mm-hmm. or you know, letting
sexual addiction.
That's a huge one. You know, all those things are.
It's a wound, but the thing,
Oh, and they're hard to, and you know what? They're hard to wrap your arms around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, how did this turn into this? And to find out, and this is our whole goal, is taking people back to figuring out where those.
It started.
Yeah, where that trauma started, where that started to happen so that we can help people overcome that. That reminds me that our call-in number is 402-344-0660. Again, that's 402-344-0660. If you have something that you're dealing with, feel free to call. You know, and if you don't want to give your name, your real name, that's fine. But just feel free to reach out to us if there's something that's heavy on your heart that you want to talk about, or if you just want to say hi, whatever. So,
because you're talking about trauma is pretty prevalent in our society. You know, they just don't talk about it enough.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. They don't. They make it seem like it's not, they pretend like it's not there, but it's there. You know, and one of the things I was thinking about with, like, drug addiction, that's just like a huge one that people use to try to self-medicate, to try to get better, because it alters their feeling state.
Right.
It alters the perception of reality.
Well, and while we're talking about things that create trauma, look at our political situation right now. You know, that reminds me back to the book of Jeremiah that you and I have been working on. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they say peace, peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they dress our wound, the wounds of my people, as though they weren't serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. It's so interesting because we have a hierarchy right now in politically that tells us that everything's better than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But we're out here on the streets and we're seeing that it's a little bit different. To me, that scripture condemns spiritual leaders for offering superficial solutions, peace, peace, to deep-seated emotional traumatic issues.
There's like a couple clients that have in therapy. I mean, they're older, but when they look at the political landscape and what's going on, just the whole thing with how things going on politically and what's happening in our country causes them even more trauma. So imagine you got this trauma going on just because of your own lack of attachment or whatever when it comes to growing up. And then you look at the political structure, what's going on in our nation, it affects their sense of safety. So it's just like the whole, like nothing happened in Omaha when it came to ICE, but because of all them shootings up there, they'd be, I don't feel like going out. I don't feel safe. But it's just saying, everybody's saying there's peace. There ain't no peace. Not that I see in our nation. You know, it's pretty scary. You know, it's pretty scary to walk the streets. It's pretty scary just to get up and go to the store. I go to the store. I'm like, oh my God, the price. We just went and got something to eat, right? How much do you think it costs? Huh?
How much?
How much do you think it costs?
I can't even guess. How much?
It was $45.
Oh, my God.
And we weren't going to any place expensive. You know what I'm saying? We were just going to, like, a regular restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking maybe $35. But you said, I said $45. That's a half $100.
Right.
So when you're talking about just me trying to be economically sound in what I'm doing and being a good steward of God's money.
Right.
The lack of feeling safe, the lack of feeling like, hey, there is a future for my kids. It affects people a lot of ways when it comes to trauma.
Well, and whenever you turn on the news, for example, and we're going to get to this in the second half of the hour about COVID in regards to COVID and post-COVID stresses. But you know, whenever you turn on the TV, it sounds like they make it sound like we're that 24-hour news cycle needs that drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make it sound like we're headed into World War III, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, that doesn't do a lot to make people feel very
safe.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or secure.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lack of peace, a lack of feeling safe. That's what drives that wound to bleed even more. If I'm looking like just in my community, you know, say if I live in a community where I hear gunshots like 3 or 4 times a week. It's going to affect my sense of safety. You know, I'm a like, not be okay. I know people that live in apartment buildings where they don't feel safe. Guess what? They don't leave their apartment after, like, it gets dark. They don't leave. They stay in the house, you know, because they don't have that sense of safety. So it means, okay, they'll bleed even more. They have problems sleeping. You know, might have some crazy dreams to where they don't feel safe. Because the whole issue with trauma is the lack of feeling safe, which started from childhood.
Right.
So it's pretty complex. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to be nice to you, and you're going to be okay. It's beyond that when the complexity is that high.
Well, that brings me to a funny point, well, somewhat funny, about how people just say, fix it. You know what I mean? They're dealing with a child or a friend that's dealing with complex trauma and addiction issues or whatever they may be, sex addict, whatever, drug addict, whatever kind of addict. And
they need help fixing it.
Yeah, just fix that, yeah.
They can't fix it. If they knew how to fix it, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in now, but it's because of the complexity of trauma they can't process and think.
Well, and because as businessmen, that's what we're used to doing. We can just fix a problem, you know what I mean? Just make more money, just do whatever. But with these issues, it's not that simple.
No.
You know, it's a lot more complicated than that. And building the trust with people is
a difficult one.
That's the essential part of taking people back to getting in those areas, is establishing that trust that's been ruptured,
mm-hmm.
and ripped, that word trust, the meaning of it has been torn from their heart for so long. So for us to repair that and to get them back to that level where they can trust is our greatest task in dealing with trauma.
Well, the whole thing, like with me, because I'm a trauma therapist, I understand, first of all, I have to be balanced. I have to be stable. I have to be emotionally fit for me to work with you, because I can give off negative energy such as judgment that affect the relationship, right?
That may not even be how you actually feel, right?
Yeah, but it's my reaction, right? So if I'm attuned to what the Lord is doing in my life and within me, I'm not going to give off that type of negative energy or negative spiritual approach. Where do you think my desk at sits in my office?
Towards the window.
Yeah, it's not between me and the person.
Right.
Because if I put it in between me and person, it's a barrier.
Well, and it also kind of symbolizes conflict. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whenever you're in conflict with somebody, you face off with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I'm kind of laid back. You know, sometimes I'll play music. I have some smells going. Just something relaxing. Not so like intense.
Yeah.
You know, if a person doesn't like to look at me, I don't be like, "You're making poor eye contact. Look at me." No. That's just where they are.
Some people, it takes months to even be able to look.
Yeah. Take them a long time.
We're cut off.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
All right. We're cool.
I think we're off.
No, you're good.
No, we're good. You know?
Oh, I'm just cut off.
It's part of like... It's part... What's the word? We live in the age of...
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
What would I call it? I can't even think, man. We're living in an age where it's like, I'm 64. Back when I used to watch TV, guess what? It was a big Curtis Mathis with a whole wooden TV set there.
Oh, remember when it went off at midnight?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nowadays, you know, you could turn on the internet just...
With the was it the Pledge of Allegiance? What did it play?
Yeah, they play the flag that, you know.
Oh, my God.
That's what
Thanks
I grew
for
up.
Telling everybody how old we are, Frank.
But there's a lot of people out there that know me. They know how old I am. Yeah, I don't need to keep it no secret. But it's technology.
Right.
That's all it is. We're just dealing with technology.
Gosh, I was just watching something the other day that was talking about how easily that we were the first in America to sell off our privacy, and we were so willing to do it. We were so willing to do it
right.
in the name of the glitzier app or the
cooler
game
yeah.
or whatever it was, you know, that and that causes trauma too. Sure.
The thing is, that's what we've taught our kids. You know, like I was poor growing up, right?
Right.
So I had
to.
You ever heard of Turnstile?
Yes.
Yeah. Very cheap clothes or Kmart, the blue light special. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
that's where I got my clothes at. Or else go to the Goodwill or whatever.
Yep.
Nowadays, you can't do that. You'd be laughed out of school.
I had an older brother that was like a decade older than me, and I had to wear his stuff.
Yeah.
I was wearing bell bottoms and butterfly collars when they were way out of style. I'm talking, oh my gosh, like in the 80s. But yeah.
But the thing is, what I'm talking about, we taught our kids you got to have the best and look the best.
Right.
And to me, that goes back into presenting a false self. God wants us to be real. God wants us to have a connection with him so he can heal us.
Reach us.
Yeah.
Right.
It's you know, we talk about, I want to relieve my suffering. You know, they'll say, you know, don't add God into it. You know, because I've worked with a lot of secular places. So they don't really want you talking about straight about God. Spirituality, maybe, but as far as God, Jesus Christ, no. But I know where the real healing lies at is my connection with the Lord. As long as I got a connection with the Lord, I could spread it to other people. And it's amazing. I was talking to a young girl tonight, and we was talking, and she was talking scripture with me, right? You know what her favorite scripture is?
What?
Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
So the thing with me is, like, I try to do breath work with kids. And so it's like, okay, what's like a simple prayer that she could use? She breathe in, put on the whole armor of God. And, like, I'm going to keep it simple with her, just to stand.
What's another one we use, Frank? We use, I'll walk by faith.
Not by sight.
Amen. Yeah.
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
If we didn't do that, we wouldn't be right here in KCR talking.
That's right.
You know?
Amen to that.
So, but the wounds are big the same because to me, it's just that's the lack of the healing that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Because people are bleeding all over the place, especially with youth. I mean, I keep going back to that, but that's our future.
Well, and we're always reaching out to these other countries and giving them a lot of money. And I'm like, there are war zones right here on our own streets, emotional battle zones that we're losing the fight because we're not reaching people that, you know, again, like we touched on last week about the homeless issue, you know, let's just give them a home and give them shelter right away. You know what I mean? And they've been kicked out of every homeless shelter out there because they don't want to listen to anybody. What are they going to do with that place? You know, are they going to know how to treat that home? Are they going to know how to pay bills right out of the gate? No, we got to teach them those things. And we got to work through their emotional and mental insecurities and trauma so that we can get them back on track so that they can become a productive member of society. Not just for society's sake, but for their own peace of mind, for their own self-esteem, so that they can know that they are loved and they are wanted. And God loves that guy on the street just as much as he loves us, and maybe even more in some cases, because I know some of those people are just, I was just thinking the other day, I saw a guy who was probably high and dancing around being crazy, and nobody would come within 100 feet of him, and I thought, man, what would it have been like if I would have just parked the car, walked over, and prayed with that guy?
He probably prayed with you.
Yeah.
He's not that far gone.
But it didn't occur to me until way later, yeah. And not only that, but then there's the social aspect of, even though we don't want to admit it, you know, people would be like, what is that guy doing?
Praying with that guy over there on the corner.
That crazy man.
That guy that's not right in his mind.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The same people that Jesus healed, by the way.
Yeah.
People that weren't right in their mind, weren't right in their speech, weren't right in their, you know.
But the things you said, that people, they need peace, right? The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. People are seeking that peace, but they cannot find it. See, you can't put a price tag on peace. That's an astronomical thing. You know, I was thinking about like Howard Hughes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He died in that penthouse down in Vegas.
By himself.
By himself with these long fingernails looking like Nebuchadnezzar with the long hair eating grass in the Bible. That's what he looked like because he had no peace. That's all people want is peace. And that's what we're trying to provide is the peace.
And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6, it says, it's a divine promise of restoration. When God declares to a desolate Jerusalem, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and let them enjoy abundant peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. I mean, the peace and security that we feel on earth is only temporary. The peace and security that God provides us is forever.
Forever. That you can have right now.
Yeah. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that talks about our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. For we rely not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is
and see, that's the thing we talk about, this wound that we're talking about. It's like they are so connected with it. They're constantly experiencing the emotional state within their body because of this past trauma, right? But you said, it said in the word that these light afflictions are for but a moment. So if we could, we're talking about working with people so they can put the past back here. It was just a moment in time.
Right.
That's all it was. We want them to have that moment in time back here. I'm proud.
Leave it back there.
Yeah, with EMDR, you process them that it was a moment in time that happened back here. It's not here. It's an experience you had that have brought you to this point.
And bring them back to today.
That's what it is, to be who God wants to be right now, today, not be in the past.
And to take your and to take their emotional maturity level
right
from the 12 that it's at, 12 years old now, and bring it to present. So they can have fulfilling, lasting relationships so that they're not stuck in superficial, wounded relationships where the first thing that they want to encounter is the flesh.
But you know what the big word now is nowadays?
What's the catchphrase?
Emotional IQ. You've got emotional, low emotional IQ. That's what you just talked about at the age of 12, low emotional IQ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're trying to bring them up here to be an adult. That's right. Our goal. Not trying, we are going to.
Right.
As long as that person chooses to be honest.
Wants to change, yeah.
Yeah, want to change and be honest.
And that's God's, and that's through God's work. Not necessarily.
No.
You know, God's shown us that these programs work.
Yeah.
But it's up to the individuals to surrender, you know what I mean, to make that happen.
Yeah, it's not, you say it's God's work, it's not.
Yeah.
My work.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Sports and Imports since 1990. The place to find your next car or truck. 12 months, no interest financing. Cars and trucks to meet all your needs from $1,500 to $20,000. Two locations to serve you at 8825 Maple Street and 136th and Millard Ave. Call for more info, 402-390-0500. Sports and Imports.
Good evening. We're back. Trauma Talk. Yeah, we had a little bit of a funny moment earlier where you might have heard some crazy stuff going on because we realized our phone lines are down for tonight. So you're not able to call in tonight, but we were hearing a dial tone and you guys weren't. And so there was just a moment of, yeah, some confusion going on there a little bit. So anyway, we're going to move on to talk about COVID and the changes that people have, what's changed societally since then in regards to trauma and the things that especially children went through. The numbers are just off the charts for how anxiety doubled after COVID. And I have one of my own children went through graduation during that time and was horribly affected by the whole deal. I mean, she can, have the kind of
Normal graduate can't have a normal graduation.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy. Luckily, we had a space that could defy some of those rules, but at the time, but still, just a very strange time to, for everyone, and it exacerbated a lot of trauma in adults, but it especially affected children. And
because like with adults, we have an adult brain, so there's a lot more things we can. Probably deal with, adhere to, or work through. Kids, I mean, their thinking is way different. Their brain's not fully developed, so it's going to affect them very differently. And I don't think, the news does it justice to report, what is really going on.
Well, and especially children of socioeconomic, of lesser backgrounds, lesser means. Yeah, there's stories about children that, the only place they had to exercise anymore was in their parents' living room, and so they were so ashamed and embarrassed of doing that they stopped exercising, and they stopped doing the basic things that help us to take care of ourselves mentally and physically. And another aspect of that too is just the human contact. We already had issues with electronics and stuff like that, but those were catapulted with COVID, the texting, the phone, staying on the phones and all that stuff. It just became a norm of behavior to most people, And we're seeing some of the results of that lack of communication.
Lack of human contact.
Yeah, and the lack of human contact.
One time, my wife was out to dinner. This is probably this is right after COVID, right? So we're out to dinner. I'm sitting there at a table, right? I look over, and there's a couple over there, and guess the only thing they were doing? Texting. I don't know if they were texting back and forth amongst themselves.
That's a normal thing now, yeah.
But it's just like they weren't interacting with each other. And I'm thinking, when you're out on a date, you're supposed to interact, talk, laugh, do what couples do. Right. But there's a lack of that interaction. And I could remember reading somewhere years ago about because of electronics and social media, how it's going to affect our social interaction, because there's a lack of it. There's a lack of change of natural energy that happens because you got this device between you and the other person. I can remember when I was a kid, right? How you have a girlfriend, you call it, get the phone call late at night, and you fall asleep on the phone, listen to each other sleep.
Because I love her.
Yeah, because I love her. Yeah. That stuff doesn't happen anymore. What do they do now?
What?
Text.
Oh.
Snapchat.
Well, and yeah, it just, it's a testimony. There's always that, I see people all the time now where there's that, where I'm talking to them in a meeting or whatever, and they're just totally disconnected. They're staring at their computer screen, or they're doing something else that has nothing to do with what we're dealing in. And God forbid there's some, you know, uncomfortable space left,
right,
because then we're really off task and lost, you know, because just that lack of communication skills that, and many of people in their 20s now are suffering so greatly from that, you know, and not that we didn't haven't always had a problem communicating as human beings.
So that connection, though, we said it's just like I'm thinking a scripture came to my mind, right? Maybe God gave it to me, but said, no, He did. But said, in Him we live, we move, we have our being. So we talk about COVID coming and how it catapulted everything, especially in the church. You couldn't go to church back in COVID, and so there's a lack of the moving of God amongst us because of this device that's in between us. So how's God going to move? How is God going to connect with us? We need Him. He don't need us. We need Him to overcome this and try to heal our community. That's our purpose. But it's that lack of connection that has exasperated everything.
Well, look, all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, it is not good for the man to be alone, right? And that goes for you women too. But yeah, it's not good for us as a whole. We were not meant to be alone. We were meant to commune together and to build each other up and to project our victories with each other so that we can come closer to God together. You know, where that's gone, it's hard to say, but we need to get back there. Proverbs 27:17 also says iron sharpens iron, doesn't it, Frank?
Yeah, yeah. And see, and when you think about that, when you talk about just how it's affected people lower social economic castes, because we're not going with color, but we're beginning to realize it's based on lower social economic class, where the complex, it's throughout, but more at that stage because of how people have suffered being poor.
And it goes along with the mentality that goes with being with poverty also. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, well, there's generational poverty that takes place for a number of reasons. The welfare state that we've created, I think,
you know,
has something to do with that. What's that?
Social learning theory.
Holy smokes.
That's what it's called. So I'm taught by my parents by their example, right? You know what I'm saying? So I do that. You know, like with me, my grandfather was a social activist. My dad was a social activist. He was a Black Panther. You know, so I'm a social activist. That's what's been taught to me. My mom was a hard worker. Guess what I am?
A hard worker.
She grew up. She was in the 60s raising two kids 10 months apart.
Well, and also just, you know, when people are working too hard to get ahead and they're forced to do that and they're never getting there. You know, then they have a tendency to come home with a bad attitude and be angry, right? And that's kind of where we go, right? So we talked about this a little bit last week about how trauma starts very early in our life. And it could be as simple as our dad coming home from a hard day's work and saying, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? And a person could carry that for 20 years and
but
not even
it's
realize.
It's repeated. It doesn't happen just one time.
Right.
It's repeated, it's repeated, 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 repeated. Then guess what I start feeling like? That I'm an idiot. I'm no good. I'm depressed. And so many, but it's something that's repeated. When you're talking about words do the most harm, but it's something that's repeated. That's when you're talking about like this social learning.
Their power.
Like when you're talking about like generations of families being in prison. Well, guess what? My dad was a gangster, whether Black, white, Hispanic, Hells Angel, or whatever. Then guess what I am? I'm the same exact thing. That's just something that I've learned.
He's a gangster.
No, I'm not. I'm far from it. I could be crazy, but I'm not there.
You just said that.
I say that?
Yeah, you said, well, since he was a gangster, you know.
No, I was explaining it the wrong way.
It's
but you
okay.
know,
it's
you know
okay.
what I'm saying? No, I ain't no
it's
gangster.
It's okay, bro.
Yeah. People with, know me. They be like, well, Frank's no gangster. He was lying.
You go with that, yeah. So, but, you know, back to, and that, you know, the word thing is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's so many other things that we can do that are emotionally, that leave a lasting impression emotionally on us. I I remember my own father, you know, being so, when he died when I was 9, but when I was young, he would come home so tired from work that he'd have me rub his back until my hands were sore, until I just, I couldn't even stand it anymore. And, but you know, those are things that stick with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, today I would have had any of those days, some of those days back, you know, I would have loved to have had those. But for a long time, I was resentful because that's all I was to him, was a back rubber.
Back rubber.
Any other day. For the rest of the time, I was nobody, you know.
Yeah, I'm nobody but a back rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're talking about, like, how COVID exacerbated everything. You quoted me things about the suicide rate, the rate of anxiety. You know what I'm saying? It has went through the roof because of the social isolation when it comes to COVID. They didn't try to do anything to prevent it. You know, and even now, they're not trying to do anything to fix it. Well, this is the problem.
Right.
What are we going to do about it? We're going to let our kids die? Is that what we're going to do? What are we going to do about it?
Well, and it was as if, I know a lot of that COVID money ran out in like 2022, 2024. Then it's like problem over, you know, and everybody's left holding the bag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For, you know, these, there's behavioral health specialists that they're overwhelmed to the point they can't even handle it, you know, because they're still dealing with those problems. I know a couple that won't even come out of their house still.
Mm-hmm.
They order everything in, they wear masks, and you know, they're convinced that they're going to die at any moment if they make contact with people, And there's a lot of people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of children that are still, you know, well, there are parents that are overly
protective, maybe?
Protective, absolutely, them.
Yeah.
Don't want them to go anywhere, and you know, and then on the flip side, there are kids that don't want to interact with other children because they don't even know how anymore.
Right.
You know?
Definitely don't know how.
That 10 to 14 range is where we saw there was a 60% increase in on anxiety levels, increased anxiety levels.
But when you talk about just not knowing how, has the number of, like, I didn't even think about this, like, bullying is like the number one thing in school today. We talk about social interaction now because of COVID. After COVID, bullying seems like to have went through the roof. People say such mean things, especially in school, because of the lack of social interaction during COVID. They come back together. They have this anxiety problem. They don't think. They just like acting. The animal brain engages. And next thing you know, they're just saying
whatever,
these mean words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and how do you feel, like, what do you think that, I know that, how do I word this? How do you feel like the socially we have gone, what direction we've gone as a society as far as accepting criticism, conflict, and the ability to overcome that?
Overcome what?
COVID? Being bullied. And
oh,
you, just, know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There used to be that we...
intestinal fortitude to overcome.
There you go.
It's not there.
No.
Because depression, anxiety, or just whatever, it's just not there. They don't have the intestinal fortitude, the strength within to overcome it.
Right.
And basically you say, well, okay, guess what? It's due to lack of connection with God. God is what builds the inner side of me. So when I'm talking about doing trauma work, I'm trying to strengthen what's going on inside of me. The only way I can do this is through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, through God, to build what's up inside of me so I can overcome what's going on. The environment on the outside is not going to change. I need to build the inside of me to overcome the outside environment. If I'm thinking like I'm a prey and the walls of Jericho are going to come down, no, it don't work like that anymore. It does not work. I got to build my inner strength. We're not living the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament.
And another word for that would be resolve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Having the resolve to overcome situations and walking by faith and not by sight. And knowing that no matter what anybody says to you, God's got you and he has an entirely different opinion of you. I think that being sheltered for that period of time affected a lot of younger youth, and young adults, because they were coddled for far more and for far longer than they needed to be. So then there's always been an issue of bullies and the bullied, and that's always going to be an issue. But I think you're right; it intensified and got worse because the smaller children that their parents, you know, were more engaged with them. They were around them all the time. And so they got softer.
Yeah.
Softer than they already were, maybe. And the kids that were tough Where do those kids usually come from? What kind of homes do those kids usually come from?
Tough homes, aggressive homes.
Yeah. There's abuse going on.
Yeah.
So what happens there? They're around it a lot more, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they're angrier.
Yeah.
And so
they're being reactive.
Yeah.
And they people like to think, oh, they should be able to control that. Guess what? They can't control that.
Right.
Because the front of brain is gone, is offline, and they're just being reactive. They're in survival mode.
And
when they
could
control it, they would.
Yeah, and when were they ever taught different?
That's when, well, part of it is social learning. Part of it is poor development of the brain, poor development of the neurological system. There's no ability to have an off switch. I know kids like they have problems in these level 3 schools or wherever they're at. Man, it's like a switch goes on, and they can't shut it off. It's like a dynamo. It just goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they'll fight. You know, there might be 5'2", 110 pounds over there trying to fight the abominable snowman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's just what I'm talking about, just the inability to shut it down or control their emotional state from within. They can't.
Right.
I'm not saying, oh, go light on, like if they get consequences, go light on the consequences. That's not what I'm saying.
It's okay, yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But we got to realize what's going on on the inside of them and get the help that they need.
And we got to be sympathetic to both sides of the issue and understand what's really going on. You're absolutely mm-hmm. right, you know, because we always want to side with the little guy, you know, but a lot of times it's that big guy who knows what he's coming home from
yeah.
or, you know, going to school from.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, his life could be tremendously worse.
And you know what school ain't anymore?
Reactive?
No, a safe place. A safe place. It ain't a safe place anymore.
Mm.
School ain't safe anymore. Got people shooting schools up. You got fights going on in the school. You just get after COVID. It's not safe.
Well,
so if I go to school, guess what? Here's the problem, right? I go to school, it's not a safe place. I'm going to be in like protective mode. I'm being survival mode. Just watching this, watching that, watching this, watching that. And guess what? My brain's not online. So I can't think, so I can't learn.
And we've chained our educators to a certain degree, and we bound people because they can't react or they can't help out in any way because they might get sued. You know what I mean? I mean, lawsuits are a very real thing in today's
society. They might get beat up or shot.
Well, there's a little bit of that, too.
I mean, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, if I'm a teacher, there's a whole bunch of things going on. I'm like, man, do I really want to get involved with this? Do I really want to say anything? Do I really want to do anything?
Right.
Am I putting my life in jeopardy?
Right.
That money ain't worth it.
Right.
You know?
The vacation is.
Oh, it's when they retire, right? You know, man, it still ain't worth it.
Right, right.
I might not see it.
Oh.
But the thing is also, it's the amount of burnout, the amount of disrespect how it wears on a person. When I'm talking about, I'm a trauma therapist. I've been a trauma therapist for 15 years. Guess what? I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not. I don't think the same. I don't act the same. You know, so I'm just not. You know, I could be pretty. Like I was down at the friend's house for what, 15 years. Like, say if there's a fight over there in the corner, you'd hear all the cheers flying and stuff like that. You'd be like,
here I go.
Oh, there's a fight over there. Like, it's almost like it's normal.
Oh, right.
You know what
we
I'm
talked
saying?
About that.
So when you're talking about, like, having exposed to all this trauma, it's just like sometimes I'm like,
you remember
I'm dead. There's no reaction inside of me. You know, not when I'm in with the client. I'm talking about afterwards.
Right. No, when you're in an actual situation that would startle most people.
Wouldn't
startle
you.
We talked about a drive-by shooting that one day when that happened, like,
yeah,
a house away. And I was... Took me 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, my God, I have a family. I can't be around this. Yeah.
There's some gunshots going on over there.
Right. But we're so desensitized.
Desensitized.
By the whole situation, you know?
Yeah.
And we got to get back to where we have to take care of our community and each other. And if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it for us, you know? And we need to turn back to God. And and as we get ready to close tonight,
you know what my prayer has been the last 4 years?
What's that?
God, put me in a position to where you can work through me and use me. Don't let me do my therapy like I've done the last 20 years. I want to do a new thing for you.
Do you know what
that's what we want to do.
You know what that too. And you know what my prayer is that I'm working heavily on, I'm so far away from it, is leading by example. Remember last week I was talking about, I was getting ready to talk about the power of words, and I caught myself 3 times saying crazy stuff to people where I was like, man, you're going to do a lesson on this, and you are talking like that. But it's just, it's a reminder of, and it's also a reminder of the powers that work against us, too, that try to remind us that we're nothing, that we're not worth anything, and that we're not able to do these things. Well, guess what, guys? We are, all of us. And I just want to leave you with the message that it takes time. Forgive yourself, forgive others, and love each other.
Yeah.
Love each other. Say a prayer first, Frank.
Lord, we thank you for giving us the ability to be here tonight to basically bring peace to the suffering out there, Lord. Allow us to be a purpose in this world today in our community to bring life back to the living, Lord, so they can live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for your time tonight, guys. I just want to please stay tuned with us next week from 8 to 9. Again, our call-in number is next week will be 402-344-0660. And we also will have a number online for you this week that you can call if you need to talk, and that's 402-813-2317. Again, that's 402-813-2317. And if you, is it 2314 or something?
2317.
And traumahouseofhealing@gmail.com. Again, that's traumahouseofhealing@gmail.com. Love each other. Thanks.